Hi, Patrick Madrid here. Thanks for listening. Check out Charity Mobile and prayerfully consider making them your wireless carrier. Mention offer code Patrick and get a free phone. Go to charitymobile.com.
Compelling insights, unpredictable conversations, encouragement for your day. It's the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio.
Okay, we are back. Hey, by the way, Lent began yesterday, as you know, and Father Rocky's Lenten lessons every single day until Easter, they're out now. And I watched mine this morning, and I watched yesterday's yesterday morning. And if you haven't signed up for yours yet, there's still time. Just go to relevantradio.com/Lent, and you'll be able to sign up. Just tell us what email address you'd like to have it go to, and we'll start sending them to you. They're very good, high-quality video, and they're only about 2 minutes long, and they will help you understand more what Jesus is doing for you in the Mass. So check it out, relevantradio.com/Lent. 888-914-9149 is the number. Let's go to Bella now in Hollywood, California. Good morning, Bella.
Good morning, Patrick. And first of all, I just want to thank you so much for helping us to, you know, this opportunity that you just had with I believe it was Vicky.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And give us the opportunity to defend life. And I really pray that I'll able one day to speak so eloquent like you. And not only that, like, you know, you're so calm. And going to be able to do that probably one day.
Thank you, Bella.
Now, just one quick question you probably have in the back of your mind for sure. She keeps saying about exceptions. I mm-hmm. have no idea what exceptions she is, you know, she was thinking there are no mm-hmm. exceptions to accept abortion, but and that was it.
Yeah, so we didn't, you're right, we didn't actually, there were so many things that we could have talked about in that conversation, but time works against us. We only have a certain amount of time. So I presume that if we had had a chance to get to that issue, I'm guessing she probably would have said exceptions, for example, for the health of the mother, or in the case of rape, or in the case of incest. Now, those are not exceptions in my view. There's never an exception that's acceptable for an abortion, because abortion is always the intentional killing of an innocent human life. Life begins at conception. That's an innocent human being. So there's never a time where you could admit of an exception to say, you know, under these circumstances, it's okay to kill an innocent human being. So, but I would presume that those would be the exceptions that she might have brought up if that were the case. And if you're ever in that situation, Bella, and somebody brings that up, well, what about rape? You might want to follow up by pointing out that just as rape is an act of violence against the woman that dehumanizes her and objectifies her, in the same way, an abortion that takes the life of the child conceived in rape is going full circle. In other words, it's actually amping up. It's extending the violence of the rape to yet another innocent victim. So in the case of the woman who was raped, she was victimized and violence was used against her. Well, the abortion of the child who's conceived by this rape, violence is used against that innocent person. And in essence, the rapist wins because his cycle or syndrome of violence to get what he wants finds its terminus point in the violence that's used to take the life of that innocent child. So had there been time, we might have moved into some of those areas as well. But I'm glad that you found the conversation helpful.
Very helpful. And another point would be if the mother, you know, that was raped, she mm-hmm. also, if she doesn't want the baby, she can also give her adoption.
Absolutely. There are many options for women who are in that situation. So not only is abortion always the wrong answer, it's never the solution, and these are never without other solutions like adoption, for example. So this is a message that we talk about frequently on the program, and that is that abortion is never the solution. There are other good options such as adoption.
That is true. Thank you so much.
You're welcome,
Patrick.
Bella.
And I'm definitely broadcast this for all my friends. And I pray for Relevant Radio, and I pray the memorial with you all, you know, every hour. So thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you, Bella. Very kind of you. How about Eric now in Brownsville, Texas? Hi, Eric.
Hi, Patrick. I was listening to your call with Victoria, Vicky, and I just wanted to make a comment.
Sure.
I just wanted to say to you that I thought that the way you handled the call was terrific, and that I thought that you proved what Lincoln said, that if slavery's not wrong, then nothing is wrong. And for her, nothing was wrong.
That's a very good point. Yeah, I was trying to gently get to that point where she would say, you know, just pick something that would always and everywhere be wrong. And I think we kind of got to that point. Rape seemed to be, that seemed to fit the bill. But I'm hopeful that by the end of the conversation, she could see how there is a parallel with abortion, with slavery, with rape. Yes, they're different things, obviously, but it's always at the expense of another person. The other person always suffers in these scenarios. So there is a common thread that runs through these terrible scenarios. And my hope, and quite frankly, that's why I began with a prayer that for the second part of our conversation, was inviting everyone to pray along with me so that we could reach that point where that would become clearer to her. And I hope it did. She seemed to be a very reasonable person, and I was really glad that she called. And I'm glad that you liked it.
Yeah, I was a reasonable person too at one time, and I was pro-choice. But when I came to Jesus, I realized that I was evil, and anyone that holds that view is evil.
Well, let's pray for Vicky and all the people like Vicky who are making their way toward the light little by little. I hope and pray that today's conversation with her was a step in that direction. Eric, thank you. I appreciate it. Let's go to Mary now in Appleton, Wisconsin. Hi, Mary.
Hi, Patrick. How are you today?
Doing well, thank you.
I wanted to comment also with Vicky, and I hope I don't start crying, so call on the Holy Spirit to get me through this.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pro-life. I used to be pro-choice also, mainly out of guilt, because about 40 years ago, I terminated a pregnancy. I can't even say the A word because it becomes so difficult. And what is hard is, you had a woman, I think her name was Mary, was one of your speakers, one of your talk persons, had said that it's not the fact that abortion is legal or not, it's that it should be made so disgusting that people wouldn't do it. And I'd have to say that when it happened to me, the truth about what went on was not out there. You know, you never heard about what happened. You never saw those movies like Unplanned. You know, it's terrifying, and it's devastating to me every time I see them. But the problem I have, or the situation I think wish could be better, is that we get out there more. As much as Planned Parenthood advertises, I wish somehow we could advertise. There is so much help. You know, I was in a position where I was raised in a family that said, don't come home pregnant. I had the person who was the father of this child was like, don't ruin my life. I'd have to get a job. And I was lost. I thought, well, here I'm going to bring a child into the world. They're going to grow up thinking they weren't loved, weren't wanted, and any excuse you could think of to convince myself that it was okay. And that procedure actually brought me closer to Christ because it was devastating. And like I said, 40, 41 years ago, I've thought about it every single day. And it's like you're doing something that's going to affect you for the rest of your life. And that is an innocent child. And even if it's from rape or incest, it's not that baby's fault. That doesn't mean that baby is going to be violent or have those problems. You know, that's the devil putting it in there saying, yes, they will. Yes, they will. It's okay for that. It's okay for that. And that's the way he pulls us away from Christ. And kind of why the world's in the place it is, you know. Those times of trauma in our lives are when we need to hold on to him so much more. and he'll bring us out. And I don't know, I just wish we could get the word out there that there are so many facilities and there are so many places that have alternatives to that. They'll help you get through it medically. They'll do the adoptions, and you can find parents that'll take care of your baby and make it more of a, I'm not doing this because it's bad. I'm doing this because I do love you so much. It is such a power of love, and we have to be proud of these people and show them what courage they had to be going through a situation like that instead of making us feel embarrassed that we're pregnant or that it was wrong or don't come home or I don't know.
Did you get a lot of that, a lot of that pressure from your mom, from your dad, or was it just sort of a general message that you got from your family?
My mom and dad. And I had a sister who got pregnant, and my mother was just floored. She was just like, oh my gosh. You know, my mother would be so embarrassed if she were alive today. I'm glad she wasn't alive. And then she found out a couple months later, my grandmother was actually pregnant with her first child before she was married.
Mm-hmm.
And she became a nun. She actually was a mother superior, and my mom always thought it was because she felt guilty. And I'm like, no, you don't get called into the service of Christ because you feel bad your mom got pregnant.
Yeah.
You know, it didn't make any sense. And I'll say it, that gave me a teaching for my children because it was like, do not ever think this is a mistake. If it happens to you, come home, we'll figure it out. It's okay.
Right. Go forward in faith and don't do the wrong thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've been through enough in my life. I've always been pulled to Christ. I am Catholic. I fell away because I didn't feel I was wanted as I went through a divorce. Mm-hmm. And I know the church is working really, really hard to change that and say, no, come back. You need to be here with us through that.
But those words are so important for people to hear. And I wonder, Mary, if in your 40 years since then, in conversation with other women who've gone through the same situation with an abortion, do you find that your own emotions and the way you feel about this is common among other women to the extent that you've talked to any of them?
They don't talk about it.
You don't talk about it?
They don't talk about it. I don't know. I have a really good friend that I know of, and we've talked about it, but it was more like, yeah, me too. Yeah. Yeah. You know, and you try to make it okay. It was long before, because like I said, for a while I was pro-choice, mm-hmm. until I really realized that's just the way the devil pulls you away from God.
So true. I mean, that you just put your finger on something very important. That's the real Me Too movement, which is not to take anything away from women who have been sexually abused. I mean, that's a real thing, and we should, you know, not try to underestimate or diminish that. But the far, 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 far bigger number of women who would say hashtag me too when it comes to having had an abortion. And I can only imagine how the fear and the shame and the emotions that, as a man, I can only imagine that a woman would feel must be a very difficult barrier to get through, get out of, and begin the healing process. Well, Mary, thank you. I'm overwhelmed today by just the importance of some of these phone calls, yours included. I sure appreciate it, and only wish we had 10 hours to do a show, but we don't. Thank you, Mary. God bless you. Let's go to Colette now in California. Good morning, Colette.
Good morning. I just wanted to give a perspective on a mother's point of view on a young child being pregnant and contemplating an abortion. Is my daughter was 15 years old, and it was a date rape is what they called it. Mm. And subsequently she became pregnant, and we took her to the doctor, and when they said that she was pregnant, I kind of went into this complete daze. Mind you, I've grown up Catholic all my life, went to Catholic school, always been pro-life. I never believed in abortion, but when it was my baby at 15 years old and she was scared and I was scared, the first reaction was, we got to get rid of this. Mm-hmm. How is her life going to be? And we... Luckily, the doctor had us wait a few days we had to go back because we had taken her to emergency because she had had some stomach problems. Okay. We thought it was just a stomach ache to find out it was a pregnancy. So anyways, by the time we went back to the doctor during that time, I kind of came to the realization then, you know, I was really praying about it and that, no, this could be a blessing. So my daughter, I told her at 15, I sat her down and I said, you know, this is something that you have to make a decision on because I don't want you to hate me for the rest of my life if I make this decision for you, whether you keep the baby, you give the baby up for adoption, or whether you abort the baby. Well, after this week had gone through, we decided we were going to go ahead and, well, she decided that she didn't want to keep the baby. So we went and we had scheduled an appointment at an abortion clinic. And the funny thing is, on the way over there, my friend was going to drop her off because I was leaving from work during her appointment. And I was going to meet them there. And on the way over there, my car stalled, brand new car, stalled in front of one of our churches, the Catholic church. And I sat there and I cried. And I prayed and I was saying, oh, Lord, please forgive me for this. And I don't know what, you know, if this is wrong. I know this is wrong.
Your brand new car stalled in front of a Catholic church.
Yes. Yes.
I'm laughing only because how the Lord works, right? How the Lord works. Okay. So what happened then? So you're in your brand new car. So, it just happened to stall in front of a Catholic church. What happens next?
I tried starting the car a couple times, finally started, proceeded to the abortion clinic, which was only about 2 blocks away from there. We sat down, got all the paperwork. She started filling it out. I was looking at a magazine, not really looking at it. I was turning the pages, but I was praying in my head. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden I heard like crocodile tears hitting the paper, like big tears. Splashing. And I turned to my daughter and I said, are you okay? I said, are you sure you want to do this? And she looked at me and she says, Mom, I can't do this. It's not this baby's fault. Mm-hmm. So I said, okay. Sorry if I'm getting emotional.
Don't be sorry.
So I said, okay. And we walked out of the clinic and I hugged her. Probably the tightest hug I've ever hugged her. Mm-hmm. And I told her, I was so proud of her for making the right decision. And she told me, Mom, I was only going to do this because I thought this was what you wanted. I said, oh, baby, I never wanted this for you. I said, but we're going to go home. People aren't going to understand. They're going to think that you were doing things that you didn't do. But we'll get through this together. Let's go home and have a baby. And we went
home. How old is that child now?
She's 18. She's 18 years old.
And I bet she's beautiful and wonderful.
She is. And she is the biggest blessing. And my daughter was the best mother ever at 15 years old. Well, 16 by the time she had the baby. 16 years old. She nursed her until she was 2. She never missed a beat of school. Graduated with her class with honors. She has been, and I mean, I'm just so proud of her. I'm talking about my daughter that had graduated with honors and didn't miss a beat with her pregnancy. Even though when she was pregnant, she didn't even tell her friends that she was pregnant, not even her best friend. She was very thin and she would wear hoodies to cover up. Mm-hmm. But like I said, both my granddaughter and my daughter are just such blessings to have. My daughter now has 5 children. She's a wonderful mother, the best mother she's a better mother than I think I was.
Well, you are a good and even great mother now, Colette, even though you went through that little valley of indecision, how the Lord brought you through it. I'm just still marveling at your car breaking down in front of the Catholic Church. What a wonderful story. I wish we had more time. What a wonderful story. Well, I'm so happy for you and your daughter and your granddaughter. What a blessing. Thank you, Colette. Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio Studio Line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/forester.
Welcome back to the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio.
Have a question?
Give Patrick a call. 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Patrick Madrid on Relevant Radio.
Welcome back. Now, I'm in the business of trying to give solutions. So even though if you don't live in Florida, this is a place to know about, and there are many organizations like them all around the country, this happens to be JMJ Pregnancy Center. They have a number of different locations. I'm familiar with the people there. I had a chance to meet some of the key people last year. I was very impressed. I'm a donor, a monthly donor. Not that that matters one way or the other, but that's how much I believe in their mission. And they're there for women who are pregnant and they don't know what to do. So they have free ultrasounds, free medical care. They do pregnancy tests, health assessments. They will work with Medicaid or with insurance to find ways to help the women keep their babies. A lot of these women, they're under pressure from their parents or from a boyfriend or a husband or just society in general. And they're not necessarily abortion-minded by choice, but they're being herded in that direction. So JMJ Pregnancy Center is in Central Florida. Their website, by the way, is JMJPC, stands for Pregnancy Center, jmjpc.org. Check them out. And they, if you don't live in their area, they may also be able to help refer you to maybe a similar group where you live. But these groups are out there. And I'm proud to know them. And I'm excited to be able to share this information with you. I probably should do that more often. But they're there. So jmjpc.org is their website. And I encourage you, have your whatever your local version of JMJ Pregnancy Center is, wherever you live, have that information on speed dial or have it bookmarked on your phone's browser so that at a moment's notice, if you find out that there's a woman who's thinking about abortion or maybe she's being pressured into that, be sure to share that information with her so that she knows that she's got options that don't involve the taking of the life of that unborn child. Let's go to Conan, waiting patiently in Jacksonville, Florida. Good morning, Conan.
Hi, Patrick. When my grandfather passed, I came into possession of a tower that is made of carved bone or maybe ivory, and in the bottom of it houses a little Buddha. I think they were popular in the 1930s. I see them online. Okay. And in addition, I also got my great-grandfather's Masonic sword. Mm-hmm. Knowing the history of Masonry, and then also this is a Buddhism thing, I was wondering if I should keep these, get rid of them. Is it okay to sell them? What are your thoughts?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I'm inclined personally. The church doesn't say you have to do one thing or the other. I'm just offering you my own opinion for whatever that's worth. I would be inclined that anything that had or could have an occult connection, I would just get rid of it. I would toss it in the trash. If it was flammable, I might burn it. But that's not required. So if you wanted to dispose of it in some other way, the church wouldn't say that you're doing anything wrong. But my view would be if I could keep it out of the hands of somebody else, I would prefer to do that. So eBay is an option, of course. I don't know how much something like that tower would fetch. Who knows? But at the same time, then it would be in someone else's house. And the same with the Masonic sword. So personally, I am more inclined to just get rid of it. That way it's not in my life, but it's also not in someone else's life. So that would be, if you asked me for my advice, that's probably what I would recommend to you.
Okay. I appreciate it.
You got it. Yeah, thank you. When my wife and I bought our first house in the spring of 1985, I don't know why I even remember that, but we bought our very first house. And the lady who lived there, who sold it to us, She was elderly. Her husband, she was a widow. Her husband was a 33rd degree Mason. And so she left some of this really cool antique furniture there. She just left it, like, you guys can have it. And as we were going through the drawers, we were finding all sorts of paraphernalia from the lodge, you know, all kinds of Masonic stuff. So even though in 1985, I probably didn't, you know, I wasn't thinking as clearly as I would today. Even then I knew I don't want this stuff in my home. So we just tossed it in the trash and we were done with it. So I speak from experience, I guess is what I'm saying, Conan. Thank you. Let's go to Jackie now in Northeast Ohio. Hi, Jackie.
Hi, Patrick. I wanted to thank you so much for taking my call and let you know I'm in Ohio where it's cold. I've been sitting in a parking lot, pulled off the road over an hour ago, just glued to the radio for your wonderful conversation with Vicki. And although I didn't call to speak about pro-life or pro-choice, I wanted to throw out a thought briefly on that, which is that I understand a baby in the womb has different DNA than its mother. And so when women argue that it's her body, her choice, I mean, the science proves it's not an extension of her body. It's the baby's own person.
That's true.
And I wish women need to remember that baby has different DNA. Mm-hmm. But the reason for my call was on the break, the broadcast advises us to examine how we use our treasure or money or possessions. And to me, it's asking Americans, Catholic Americans especially, to consider pressuring this administration to stop buying Russian oil, because it seems like we're funding both sides of the war and sending money to the Ukrainians and in buying 600,000 barrels of oil or whatever it is that we're buying from the Russians daily, that we are funding the Russians. And it seems like we're also prolonging the conflict then if we're providing money to both sides. So I wanted to get your thoughts on that. I know you touched on it yesterday with regard to the Chinese buying oil, but I feel like that doesn't absolve our you know, responsibility in the money we're funneling to Russia. And then just as a third thought, and I'll take your comments off the air.
I've already forgotten the first one. So the first one was pro-life. Okay, second one is America buying oil from Russia. Okay,
buying oil when we have our own, when we can be energy independent without funneling much money into the pockets of a socialist regime. And then just as a last thought, I wondered if you heard anything about what I heard from another station. They reported that Newsweek uncovered that Russia is financing green organizations in America that have the power over this administration, pushing this administration to rely on foreign oil.
And okay, let me try to remember those things. So as to the middle one about the Russian oil, my frustration, and I share your view on this, that we shouldn't be doing anything that would help to finance Russia's operation. My frustration is that the United States could easily be energy independent of OPEC and Russia and other sources of foreign oil, and not to mention natural gas, if we would just simply make use of the overabundance of fuels that we have here in the United States. But we're hobbled and hamstrung by the far left and their efforts to prevent the United States from making use of its own natural resources in a responsible and safe manner because of the environmental, the extreme environmentalism that has us hobbled. So I'm with you. Not only do I not want to see our money going to something that is funding the invasion of Ukraine, but I also think that we should be energy independent regardless. And then the last thing that you brought up about the Russia funding green organizations, I mean, I have no reason to think that's not true. I think that this is very likely true, not to mention third parties who are not nation states, but billionaires who would like to direct public policy by greasing the skids with money. I know that happens. This is something that in the 1950s, and you're far too young to have been through this, but in the 1950s with the Senator Joe McCarthy hearings, he was going after, in a very ruthless and devastating, destructive way, he was going after pretty much anything that moved if he thought it might have some connection with communism. And so although McCarthy wound up being completely discredited, and he was thankfully he was sidelined, he did a lot of damage in the process. But among the things that he did, he did in fact uncover the fact that even from that point forward and even before that, there was Russian influence in the United States, in the press, in the media, and in other sectors. So the problem you're identifying is not new. This has been going on for a very long time. And we, you know, to whatever extent we're doing anything about it, I don't know. And I suppose it would vary by administration, depending upon their ideological bias. But I'm not surprised to hear that that's happening now, and it has been happening for quite a long time, unfortunately. Jackie, thank you. I appreciate it very much. We'll go now to Richard in Rancho Cucamonga, California. Hi, Richard.
Good morning, Patrick. I felt compelled to call you today after the Vicky call that you had. And as a husband, as a man, I thought I'd give the male side of this abortion issue. So me and my wife have been married for almost 12 years now, and we have been dealing with infertility for about 7 years now. So we had a miscarriage. We got pregnant early on, and we had a miscarriage, and we have been unable to conceive. So when I hear people talking about, you know, it's just a clump of cells, it's you know, it's not, it's my body, my choice, it irks at me and my wife, because there's parents out there like me and my wife that are unable to conceive a child of our own, mm-hmm. that would gladly take a child that is going to be aborted. Mm-hmm. And we pray every day that we can achieve pregnancy, but right now it's just not happening, and we're carrying that cross. So, you know, I used to be on that side where, abortion's okay in certain instances as rape or incest, but now being in the position that I'm in and me and my wife are in, I'm not for that whatsoever, because I would gladly take a child in if the mother wanted to get rid of it, or me and my wife would take the child in. So
right.
I just wanted to share our story a little bit, and I hope one day that this evil abortion will be overturned in our country, and people will start realizing that there is parents out there that want, or there's couples out there, married couples out there that can't conceive, that would gladly take that child in.
Right, which is a very important message. Now, I presume that you and your wife have probably looked into NAPRO technology as a means to determine what might be preventing conception. Have you looked into that?
Yes, we have. And my wife's done some hard procedures for endometriosis and stuff like that.
Okay.
And everything is good on my end and on her end. It's just not our time right now.
Okay. Yeah, fair enough. I know there are some couples who don't realize that there are techniques that are entirely moral and permissible that can greatly improve one's chances of carrying a baby to term or conception. Well, you can count on my prayers. I'm glad that you weighed in with your view as a male, and I can only imagine how galling it must be for you and your wife when children are being aborted left, right, and center, and you would love to have a child to welcome into your family. Hopefully your words today will be an encouragement to young women who are in that situation, and for them to know that there are good, loving people just like you and your wife who would love to accept a baby in adoption. So we'll be praying for the two of you, Richard, that God will grant you the desires of your hearts, that you will have a baby and maybe many babies in God's time. We'll see. We'll pray. Thank you, Richard. This is the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio. I'm coming right back right after this. Today's programming sponsored by Solidarity HealthShare. Information on their health plans available at CatholicHealthShare.com. That's CatholicHealthShare.com.
This is the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio. Join the conversation at 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Patrick Madrid is on now.
Okay, Jim in Green Bay, you're on the air. Welcome.
Welcome. Good afternoon.
Hi.
You're always looking for good entertainment and good TV programs for young people and the whole family. Now, I'm in mid-Wisconsin, and I get a station over Antenna TV. It's called Positive TV, and it's 52-5 on a standard television set. Last night, they had the Bells of St. Mary's with Bing Crosby and Ingrid Bergman, and they have kind of, the movies are sort of, a lot of them are a little historical, sort of inspirational, but non-denominational. So I just wanted to pass that along.
Very kind of you, Jim. Very thoughtful. And the Bells of St. Mary's is one of those classics in the genre. And I appreciate it. Thank you. Let's go to John now in Wausau, Wisconsin. Hi, John.
Good morning, Patrick. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I'm looking for some sage advice from someone wiser, more experienced for myself.
You mean
my younger sister, 27 years old.
I couldn't help myself. Sorry about that.
So my younger sister gave us a call last night. She's 27 years old. She's had her husband just filed for divorce. And it's hard to hear. They have three kids, between ages of 2 and 5 years old.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Kind of hard for me. We have five kids in the same age range.
Did he give her a reason for this?
She didn't tell us one specific reason. You know, she did mention a number of things that, you know, there's been, you know, a lot of fighting. There's been verbal abuse. We know that he comes from a broken home. She says that, that my wife asked her if they've done the Retrovi retreat. Mm-hmm. She said they did that. He wasn't very interested in it. He said it wasn't his thing. They did a virtual follow-up after the retreat, and she said he fell asleep during the follow-up, so he just doesn't seem...
His heart's not in it.
...interested in doing his part.
Is there a third party, or is there any way to know if there's a third party involved?
Not that we know of.
Okay. So she's the victim here, or she's going to be victimized as he walks away from the marriage. He abandons her, and presumably there's small children. Legally, of course, I mean, and I should put this out there, I'm not a lawyer, so I can't give legal advice. I'm not a counselor, so I can't, you know, I can't do that, but I can just offer a few thoughts about this issue. One would be that she should find out what her legal options are, and I know it varies by state, but if he's intent upon divorcing her, my understanding is that there's really nothing that can stop him from doing that. There's really nothing that can stop him from just walking away from the marriage and devastating those children, not to mention his wife. I don't understand how a man could do that, but men do that all the time. Women too, obviously. So I imagine you're probably wondering what advice you can give her or how you can help her.
Yeah, we want to be able to help her any way we can. And, you know, we just don't have experience with this. Or,
yeah.
You know, how do you change the mind of someone who's made up their mind and not open to trying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sometimes you just can't. And that's the devastation of the whole thing is that she has to live with that pain. Her children have to live with that pain. And he, for whatever his reasons are, he's choosing himself over them. Are they both Catholic? Were they married in the Catholic Church?
So they were married in the Catholic Church. It was after we learned that she was pregnant with her first child. Mm-hmm. So that might have had something to do with it. We know that he attended RCIA classes after they were married.
But they... To become Catholic. But he's baptized, or he was he baptized when they got married originally?
You know, I don't remember that actually.
Were they married in the Catholic Church?
They were married in the Catholic Church. It was, like I said, kind of a hurry up and get this done type of deal.
Okay. So he might not have been baptized. But since we don't know, there's no point in speculating on that. If she, if this is going to happen and he's on his way out and there's nothing that's going to change his mind about this, so you're right, you and your wife need to rally around her and do everything you can to support her emotionally, certainly prayerfully, and let her know that you're praying for her. And sometimes for people, that can seem like an empty gesture. And I would suggest that you really let her know. No, I don't mean thoughts and prayers. I mean, we're really praying for you every day.
No,
we're
right.
Praying the rosary.
We let her know that, and she's appreciative of that. And
that's good.
You know.
That's good. Now, in addition to that, of course, I presume that at some point, hopefully sooner rather than later, things like alimony and child support will kick in. But she, if she's not working outside the home, she may need your financial support. She may need...
Right. She has a job. She works nights. He works during the day. He's working from home at this point.
Okay. Well, that would be my advice. This is such a terrible, difficult situation. And if only there were something I could say, you know, do this or say this, that would fix it. But these situations just aren't susceptible to that kind of thing. But do let her know that you're praying for her. You've already done that. Whatever kind of support you can give. Now, her children are going to need a strong and upright father figure. And if dad, you know, if dad is a selfish jerk and he's walking away from the family, he's abandoning his children, well, that may well be, John, the role that you'll step into. To be, you won't be the father to those children, but you will be that strong, upright, loving male father figure in their lives. And
yeah,
that's certainly something
more
that they need.
Yeah, they're in the Twin Cities. We're in the middle of Wisconsin. So usually we see them around 3 or 4 times a year, Christmas and Easter and a couple other times. But, no, I can see how they absolutely would need that.
Oh, they absolutely do, no doubt. There's an important book called Primal Loss by Layla Miller, and it's the compilation of testimonies of children whose parents got divorced. And it's just raw and powerful, and I can't imagine anybody reading their testimonies and then saying, yeah, we'll go ahead and get divorced, and just dynamite these children for the rest of their lives. So maybe in this is my last bit of advice, John, maybe you should take that to prayer in a special way and ask the Lord if you need to be that father figure in the lives of these little children. This may require some sacrifice on your part to travel there more frequently. I'm not saying that, you know, you have to do that, but it would be a good question to ask the Lord. Is this something that I should be doing more of so that I'm present in the lives of these children, not to mention supporting my sister, but to be present, physically present in the lives of these children? It may mean having them come visit you on a more regular basis, if that's possible. I would also recommend that your sister go over to a website called Mary's Advocates. Mary'sAdvocates.org was founded by a woman whose husband walked out on her. He abandoned the marriage, and she was the victim. And so she, after she got over her, you know, being shell-shocked, she started to find out, well, what does the church teach about this? And, you know, why do we even have no-fault divorce? And so many other aspects of this. So it's a website that has many resources available on it, canon law resources, videos, interviews, articles, etc. I would certainly give her that website, marysadvocates.org. Thanks, John. I appreciate your phone call, and I'm going to be praying especially for your sister and her family. Let's go now to Patrick in St. Cloud, Minnesota. Hi, Patrick.
Hello, Patrick. Thank you so much for your show today. It's been amazing.
Sure. Thanks.
I've got a question for you. I came upon from a local regional women's Catholic university, a seminar they're putting on. The main question of the seminar is, what is the Holy Spirit saying to each of us with regard to discerning women as permanent deacons? I was looking to get your thoughts on that and what our Catholic Church teaches about women as permanent deacons.
Mm-hmm. Well, the Holy Spirit is saying, stop it. That's what the Holy Spirit is saying, not to you, but to them. Stop it. Stop the nonsense. Stop this childishness. The church has always taught, and Pope John Paul II in his, apostolic letter? I've got to go back and see what kind of document it was, but he wrote in 1988 a document called Ordinatio Sacerdotalis, and that means on priestly ordination. And it's well worth reading. It won't take you long to read it, maybe 10 minutes or so. And in it, he explains why the church doesn't have the ability to ordain women. It's just, it's not that the church doesn't want to, it's that the church can't. It doesn't have the power to do so. And he gives all the reasons why this is the case, including the fact that Jesus did not choose women when he chose his apostles. He didn't even choose his mother, who was, you know, a higher, greater person than any of the apostles. Now, he goes through about half a dozen of these reasons, and they're well worth looking at. But in the very end of this document, he says the following. He says, although the teaching that priestly ordination is to be reserved to men alone has been preserved by the constant and universal tradition of the church and firmly taught by the magisterium in its more recent documents, at the present time, in some places, it is nonetheless considered still open to debate, or the church's judgment that women are not to be admitted to ordination is considered to have merely a disciplinary force. Wherefore, in order that all doubt may be removed regarding a matter of great importance, a matter which pertains to the church's divine constitution itself, in virtue of my ministry of confirming the brethren, and there he invokes Luke chapter 22, verse 32, I declare that the church has no authority whatsoever to confer priestly ordination on women, and that this judgment is to be definitively held by all the church's faithful. Now, this was written by him. Did I say 88? I'm sorry, 1994. It's an apostolic letter. And so he definitively shuts the door on the question of holy orders for women. The diaconate is the first step of holy orders. So he has the last word on this issue. So that's why I'm saying the Holy Spirit's message to these people who are, you know, prattling on about, you know, what is the Holy Spirit saying to you about women in the diaconate? The Holy Spirit is saying, stop it. Stop it. Go live your life. Go about your business and stop this nonsense. So that would be my commentary off the cuff. Thanks for the call, Patrick. Let's go to Joe and Chandler. Hope there's time. Joe and Chandler, welcome.
Hey, thank you, sir. I have a job where we took on a contract for Planned Parenthood, and I'm grieved every time I get a ticket because I'm an IT supporter, and I got to help these people too.
That's just our Planned Parenthood mood music, Joe. That's all. Just to get everybody into the mood. That's all.
Should do.
So what is the contract call for? Are you constructing a new Planned Parenthood clinic, or what is it asking you to do?
I'm sorry, the phone messed up. What was that, sir?
What is the contract asking you to do for Planned Parenthood?
Basically, I help them to get into the software that they use to handle clients and customers, and basically they are doing these medical procedures because they can get in and help these people that are coming in to get this stuff done.
Yeah.
And it's like I feel just so caught in the middle, and I just don't know if there's an option for me because I would, if I were you, want to do something right.
Yeah, that's your conscience speaking, and that's good.
Yes.
You would find yourself directly participating with evil, the evil of abortion, because you would be directly helping them to do what they do. Now, it's a bit more nuanced than that. Unfortunately, we don't have the time. But my initial reaction would be to say, if at all possible, find some other job or get off that job if you can. Now, if you can call me tomorrow, we could pick it up and talk about it further. Until tomorrow, I'll pray for you. Please pray for me.